Okay, and now I would like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Robert S. from San Diego.
Hey, good evening, folks. My name is Robert, and I am truly an alcoholic.
Robert.
And I'd like to welcome the It was 13 people that introduced themselves as newcomers. Welcome to a new way of life. You never have to drink again if you choose not to. They told me the only requirement for this membership is the desire. But I didn't just have to have a desire. I had to have an honest desire. And that's why I'm here today. If you have an honest desire to stay sober, you can stay here too. Congratulations to the ones that took token. I forgot. I didn't even know I was supposed to put my name on the board. But I'm here. And I was the main speaker, so I wasn't tripping. I was going to tell you anyway. You know, I want to thank all of the people that came out that supported me in this new way of life. Everybody that run around with me know where I'm from and how I do this. I just appreciate it, especially the programs that I patronize and the place that I came from, and the guys that know where we come from in this room, they know who I'm talking about. You know, I just want to do one thing before we get started, because I always have to remove myself out the way so I can let God intervene. And if you guys would give a moment, let me get out the way and do what I got to do. And this is one of our prayers, you know. I like this the old school way. There I humbly offer myself to God, as I did and understood him, to do with me as he would. I place myself unreservedly under his care and directions. I admit it for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since. That's been over 6,570-something days. One day at a time, that's over 294,000 minutes, man. That's a lot of fucking time, man. I wouldn't even believe that I would still be here, but in this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it tells us that our story is disclosed in a general way, what we used to be like, what we are like, what we like, and what we like to, whatever. All I was finna tell you is that I come out to share my experience, strength, and hope. The murdering up here is hot, man, already, but I'm gonna be all right, because I'm finna bring something to you guys, because I just got back into town, and I want to thank the guys that pulled together with me yesterday, because I picked up a new career, and now I'm driving on the road, over the road, and I was on the road. And I was putting down work to try to get to this meeting today. I was all the way up north. I was coming from Denver in an 18-wheeler truck. And they had disappointed me and didn't have the van for me to transport my people so we can come over here to support this meeting and do this speaker meeting. And they put in so much work. And we was on the phone. And it was so stressful for me, man, because I'm in that damn L.A. traffic and shit, man. And it was like, and then they all screaming in my ear. And I'm going nuts. And I'm looking at the traffic. And I'm saying, whoa. And then we got it done, man. And everybody pulled together. And they know who they are. And I appreciate my brothers and sisters in recovery. So when you know what I'm talking about, you know how I appreciate you guys, man. You guys are a big part of my life, and I love you guys. You know, my disease started a long, long time ago. You know, I'm one of them real McCloys. I'm the real alcoholic. You know, for a cat like me, I didn't realize that I had such a problem like that. Like the man was up here saying, you know, but in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'll share this, and then I'll bring it to you because this is the way it is for me. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. See, when I started, I didn't know how to stop. And I did it for 26 years. Some of you cats in here probably ain't even been on this earth that long. I am so fortunate to still be alive. And then it says, we are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power of choice. Whether he will drink or not, Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it. This utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. This is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is where I found my solution. When I got here, man, I didn't think I had a problem. See, everybody knew I had a problem except for me. The judge, my mom, them, my brother, them, they all wanted me to quit drinking. Every time I drink, I'm like you, man. People start slamming doors in my face. What the hell they do that for? If you was like me, see, in the doctor opinion, they'll tell you this, and I don't throw pages out, but I let you know where I found my information. And in the doctor opinion, it's so cold because he'll say something like this. He had the audacity to call me an outright mental defect. And then he said, I'm in full flight for real, and I'm looking at him, who in the hell you think you're talking to like that, gangster? He was talking to me. Somebody needed to say something like that to me to make me realize, because mentally, and this is a mental obsession, and I didn't know that. And see, I had that mental obsession that I didn't know that I drank the way that I did until I hit my bottom. It wasn't all 26 years that was bad. I'm going to tell you, them 26 years, I had fucking fun. And if you don't believe it, and excuse me, if you have sensitive ears, just let me tell you like this. I'm a black man in America. I speak three languages. I speak English well. I speak the language of the heart, and I speak profanity. So if you got sensitive ears, you might want to plug them up. Because I've never talked it nice to my disease. My disease is a gangster. See, he didn't never come to me and said, good morning, Robert. It's a beautiful day to have a drink. And if your disease is talking to you like that, man, you better kick his ass, man, because he's fooling you. You know, I've been deceived in that delusion that I was okay, man. I'd be all right. I just drank too much last night. That's not the case. When they said, and you know, I love it, man, because when I arrived into these rooms, I didn't know nothing, man. And see, we had some real gangsters in here. I loved them old timers when I got here. 18 years ago, they was not afraid. It's like something now, and I hate to say it, man, but this new generation coming in here, get your sensitive ass in here and do what them old timers told me. They used to talk like this, and it was the most profound thing you'll ever hear, man. They'll come and say, you'll come in the rooms, and you knew. And they didn't want to hear that shit. See, and I believe in this, man, that the first 30 days, if I don't open my mouth and start introducing myself as an alcoholic, I'm never going to beat this disease, man, because I'm sitting in here hiding. This ain't no hideout. This is real life shit, man, and this disease don't give a shit. I be sitting up in a bar and shit, and I'm the coolest Montana up in there, man. Give me a couple of drinks, I fall off the stool, and everybody looking like, what the hell is wrong with him? That alcohol do something to me mentally that it don't do to you. I don't know what a normal life is, but I had a normal mother. See, my mother took a drink, and she was very smart. Because she started feeling woozy, she put that shit down and never had another one. See, I ain't that bright. See, I took that drink at 13, man, and I went on a mission. Woo, it was fun, man. I was running like a madman. And for 26 years, and I'm going to tell you like this. It wasn't the 26 years that whooped me up. It was the first one and the last one. That's all I have to remember. Because that first one sent me on a mission for 26 years. That last one landed me in these rooms in 2000. The new millennium, I came in here. And I was beat. And it was a physician. The way that I just told you, that physician hollered out and called me an outright mental defect. It was a physician that hollered over them voices in my head and shut my head up long enough for me to hear, because I was suicidal. See, I'm that type of dude, man. I think I'm a gangster. I can whoop the world when I get some of that poison up in me, man. Woo, all bets is off. I pull my shirt off and start flexing on you. Wasn't nothing but a buck and a penny, man, soaking wet. I'm like running around here trying to put my chest in. Suck your chest in, man, before you fall out. But I want to tell you, man, it was the most beautiful thing for this doctor to do something that I couldn't do for myself. Because I was in the hospital, and this is my last drunk. Because I don't like to stay in the drunk too long because I want to get to the solution. I want to talk about some recovery. But when I was in that hospital in 2000, and that doctor came in that room, I was cursing everybody out. And I had a wife at that time, a beautiful woman. I loved her. But I had a problem. And I had no solution, and I didn't know how to stop drinking. And I cursed everybody out in that hospital. And that doctor came in there and hollered over them voices and shut my head up for a minute, and them voices just stopped. See, if you like me, I got gangsters in my head, man. I got a bunch of little midgets, and they holler stupid shit at me. And I be listening. Who said that? See, I start looking around. I know somebody talking to me, and it ain't you. It's these voices up here, man. I quit listening to this. That's why we tell the newcomers, when you get here, man, don't go upstairs unsupervised. And the old timers used to say, think, and then they'll come out with something profound. Don't think. And I'm like, you guys so fucking confused up in here. What do you want me to do? But they was doing just what I needed them to do to shut my head up for long enough for me to hear the message. And they did that. And I sat in here. And see, when I started in this rooms, man, my first couple of weeks, it was devastating, man, because I sat in a program and I had got busted in the head, and then I ended up down in a detox, then I ended up in 10-day, and then I ended up going up into the ranch. Best thing that ever happened for me. And the same date that I went into the Freedom Ranch, it's the same date I'm still walking around here with today. This was my first rodeo, and I don't want to have to go back to try it out no more. So when you come in here, if you ain't finished, see, when that lady was up here trying to get order in this room, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in here because we were undisciplined. When we get here, we need to let God discipline us. If you can't come in the room and recognize this is a life-saving soul station. This ain't no, we don't want to be disordered in here and come in here all right, wild and crazy. This ain't no fucking party. This is a matter of life and death for some cats like us. I was dying when I got here. I'd be damned if I let somebody step on my recovery, man. I'm serious about my recovery. And when they come down to recovery, I don't care where I'm at. I walk up in the room and sing it, man. I sing the blues. And if this is what snitching, you call this snitching? Me telling on myself, I'm going to keep snitching because it's been working for 18 years. And I'd be damned if I get my seat up for one more day. I love the newcomers. That's why I always recognize when you guys are in here, you ought to be recognized. Because I recognize I don't just count all of them days. I just told you I had 6,000 days up here, one day at a time. I didn't just get 6,000 days by waking up. I've been putting in some work. I've been walking through some real life shit in these rooms. And it's been hurting. But you know, it don't matter what, I choose not to get loaded. And I'm going to tell y'all, I got some deep stuff going on today, man, because my heart's been hurting. And I see a lot of this going on. And since I picked up this career for over 16 years, I've been doing my recovery strong. I patronize about 4 treatment facilities downtown. And I had a commitment in every one of them, and I was there faithfully. For 14 years downtown, I ran into them rooms. 16 years, I was down here doing what I needed to do in the ditches, getting real dirty. And doing whatever they said because my vocabulary changed. When somebody asked me to do service, that no, it's not in my vocabulary, I'll be there. Because if you would have asked me to go stand in front of the liquor store and make sure that don't nobody run in here to rob them, give me a 40 and I'll stand out there and whoop anybody ass and come along. I'm that gangster, man. I ain't scared of nothing once I get that old poison in my system. My brain just go. And I had one of the old timers used to say it like this, the sensation of alcohol. When you put that bottle up to your lips and it starts going down that windpipe and it drops down and hit that belly and then come back up and hit your mental capacity and you say, whoa, I needed that. That is insanity. Because I didn't know how much poison I was pulling in myself. I didn't realize that I was suffering from this dilemma that my boy was talking about, that they said lack of power was my dilemma. I found my power in these rooms because I had to do some work. I didn't just come in here and sit around. While I was up at the ranch, I sat there for a couple of weeks, man, and then it was like when we go to the child hall, we walk down and we go to the child hall, and the counselors are standing at the door and said, "What step are you on?" Like, looking at him like, "What the fuck is he talking about? What step are we on?" I didn't know we were supposed to be here doing those steps and stuff. And then something clicked, because it took 90 days for my head to pop up out of my ass. I was like, "Oh, I'm in a treatment facility." Some people, they get up in here and think that this is a party, man. This is an asylum, man, what the old timers call it. This is a mental ward for mentally ill people like you and me. I'm one of them cats. I raise my hand every time. I was mentally ill when I got here. When that doctor said I was in full flight from reality, I didn't have no reality. If it wasn't a drink, man, I didn't know what you was talking about. But you give me a drink, I got a BA, a CA, a BA, a NA, or whatever you have. I got it all in there, and I philosophize all kind of bullshit. I got a doctorate degree. And philosophizing bullshit. I could talk about anything you want to talk about as long as we drinking. And then I get up in here and I don't have a vocabulary. Somebody said, "You want to read?" "Oh no, I don't read." I'm the first one, man, when they say some shit like that, man. "Hey Rob, you want to drink?" "Hell yeah!" You can hear the man when he's talking about some alcohol. He's got this loud voice. He just echo around the room. He don't need no microphone. But you get up in here and you ain't got nothing. Oh, no. See, I ain't never did that. See, because I ain't Michael Jackson, and I'm going to tell you straight up. I don't say, "Stop it, Tito." See, that's not cool. See, I let you know that I'm in the room and I'm a real alcoholic because I'm going to talk like one. And see, when you talking under your breath, if you would have came up in some of the places I was in and was talking under your breath, I'd have kicked your ass because I thought you was the police. So don't get up in here and get all shy now, man, because this is the real world. If you would have told me 18 years ago, "Rob, you would still be up in these rooms having fun, talking shit and just loving it. This is the best thing that ever happened to a cat like me. I ain't never been no place where I can pay this dollar, $2, $3, $5, and sit in a room and listen to a cat like me talk shit." I said, "I love these fuckers, man." I used to look at them like I was there trying to catch them doing something because I want to know what the hell is wrong with them. Because I didn't think I had nothing to say either, man, but I started talking and I wouldn't stop, man, because this is the shit here, man. I mean, I'll tell you like this, because I paid a high price for a low life. I gave up everything that I had, man, just to go get loaded, man, and I didn't care. I would lose everything. I'd be running around here. I ain't never been homeless. See, because I'm that type of gangster, man. I'm going to rob something. Before I go eat a cheeseburger off the ground, then somebody going down. That's just my gangsterism in me, man. And that gangsterism that I thought I was when I was out there in the disease, I'm that away in my recovery. So if you coming around, because they told me we got a purpose in these rooms. And our purpose was to get sober, to stay sober, and to fuck your high up. And that's what I do. I don't give a hoot, man. And if you get butt sore because what I say up here at this podium or the way I talk, I'm not screaming at you. I'm screaming at them voices in my head because them little gangsters still live up in there. And if they start, then I get real complacent around here and forget where I came from. And next thing you know, everybody will be saying, "I knew he was going to get loaded." No, you didn't. See, because I ain't stopped singing the blues, man. I ain't stopped talking real gangster shit because the way you are in your disease, you thought you was, then get up in here and be like that in your recovery. If somebody is up in here and we need some coffee, man, I call them, come up in here, and I don't boast and brag on what I do, but I do service no matter what. You need me to wash the window? "Oh, what's wrong with your shoe? Let me get that." Because I ain't got no problem with it. Because the triangle tells us what we're supposed to be doing around here. You can't have a three-legged stool and just do one thing. You got to do all of them in order for that stool to stand. Amen. But then you sit here, and I got the unity, man, and I got the recovery. But what about the servants? Who's going to set the room up? Who will clean the room up? Who will pick up the trash? Why do we have to lose rooms up in this program? We shouldn't be losing rooms. This right here, I just had last year, I had my first biological grandchild. Oh, she's so beautiful. I haven't met her in person yet. She's finna be 1 year old this month. Let me tell you something. 2017, I just had got really kicking into my career. And I turned 56, and I got a phone call. I was in a hotel. And my oldest daughter said, "Did you hear that my stepson just got killed, 23-year-old? Let me tell you something. I had a lot of deaths in my family. Since I've been in recovery, I've been seeing people die. It hurted me when my mother left me. She left me 14 years ago. I said that would have been the person that would have made me go back out and use. I was in Laredo, Texas, at a hotel when I got that phone call. Do you know, I walked around that hotel. I was so scared. I was so messed up. I told the girl at the desk, "You got to find me a damn meeting or I'm going to go crazy." I was losing my mind. I was so messed up because I ain't never had nothing like that to happen. And if you don't know what it's like, and this is why we're telling y'all, because we don't know what it feels like when a parent loses a child. And when I lost that son, man, and I'm sober, and I had to stay sober, and I'm walking around this hotel wanting to kill everything because I was hurting. And that shit right there, man, that made me see the reality, man. And I called up here to California, and I asked my people, Damien and my friends, man, my wife and everybody. I said, "Man, pull together and be there for me and go in there and say something for my son for me, man, because I couldn't make it back." That hurted me, man. I didn't get the chance to see my son off. But I made it back up here the next day. And I went and stood over there where he got killed. And it was hurting me like a mug, man. Gumpers Junior High School. That little man lost his life. That was the most hurtingest pain I've ever felt. And you know, I had to walk through that. And I got to that point, man, where I was getting sick and tired of this shit, man. And I'm saying, I got to have this, man. I know why God got me here. He wanted me to see this because that could have been me, man. I should have been dead a long time ago. Some of the shit that I done, man, I shouldn't even have the opportunity to have my freedom to be out here in this world living free, happy, joyous, and free because of this program they call Alcoholics Anonymous. I got a life, man, beyond my wildest dream. I'm like 5 G's in the hole because I left my house with my daughter. She sent me through the blues. I lost my car. My son totaled my car out. You think that shit makes me? Everything that I've gained since I've been in recovery, I would have took it and gave it to a liquor store or a dope man. I don't give a hoop who got it. Because when my disease called out, I'd sell you if I had to. So I don't get this thing twisted, man. When we come up in here, it's a matter of life and death. And if you ain't ready to be a maximum service, this meeting's all over this town, man, that we need to keep these doors open. Because when the pain come like that and real life shows up and you ain't got no mental defense, man, this shit ain't no joke. And a lot of people go back out there and use because they don't have no solid foundation. They don't have no stability in their recovery. It's in the book. See, if I didn't have this right here and God in my life, I would be lost. And see, we run around here like everything is dandy, man. I ain't the type to say, "I think I'm going to make the room my higher power." Yeah, it's a lot of y'all up in here. Y'all powerful. Y'all might kick my ass, but I'm going to come out and whoop a couple of your asses too. But when it come down to being serving a God of your understanding, I'd be doggone if I sit here and play games, man. See, I can't believe in coffee cups because I get mad at a coffee cup and I throw that fucker against the wall and it'll crack and shatter. I don't believe in doorknobs because I kick a doorknob off the hinge. Get me mad enough. I don't want to put it like this, but I don't play around with my God. I got a living God that's been with me all these years. I met my God back. God was never lost. I met my God up in the Freedom Ranch at a cross in a big rock up there. And I knelt down and I said that third step prayer. Not the one I just said. That was the way Bill said it. But I kneeled down and I said, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou will. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help in thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. I didn't fake the funk. Me and my homeboy got on our knees. Ain't never got on my knees with no man. Got on my knees and said that prayer. And I left all of them character defects up there in the ranch. We had a brother up there to sit around and do steps with people, man. Make sure. See, I said before I leave off that ranch, I'm not coming out of here, and I'm not leaving off that ranch the way I came in here, broken. So I'd start doing the work. When they said, what step are you on? I had to go and start reiterating on this thing they're talking about. I picked the book up, and I started reading. I hate to come into a program, and they say, we don't have no literature. What the hell kind of program is this? They diluting this message. Don't let nobody tell you. This is not a class. This is a meeting. For Alcoholics Anonymous, we come in here to fellowship. To socialize, if you want to socialize, socialize after the meeting when see who will stay around here and talk to the newcomer. See who will stay around here and help clean up. See who will come in here and say, can I do anything, my brother? You need some help? See, this is what this is about, man. Because when we was out there, let me tell you like this, man. I bought a lot of liquor stores in my days. Let me tell you how gangster this is. I don't own damn one of them motherfuckers. What a concept. I bought all them liquor stores. I made another man rich off of my disease, and then I come in here complaining, I don't have nothing. Well, you gave it all away, stupid. Then you want to cry over spilled milk. This is some real stuff, man. This is a reality check, man, for us to realize that I couldn't stop drinking. And when I found the solution, it wasn't because I sat in the rooms. I was hanging out with old-timers in my young days. Them old-timers taught me some principles in these rooms. And they taught me how to sit still. Because if you need a cigarette within 1 hour of a meeting and you got to walk out the damn room to go smoke a cigarette, man, you ain't finished. That disease is still calling. I smoked cigarettes for 30 years. My last 20 years of smoking was Pall Mall, Lucky Strike, Chesterfields, and Camel non-filters and Buglers. Because I did a lot of time walking penitentiary yards. So I know what it's like to be walking the yard and going through all of this. And my first sponsor told me if I didn't get real and tell you what I was going through. See, I know who I am, man. And I did some work because I wrote all of this stuff in black and white. And see, in black and white, in them joints like that, we at war with each other. Today out here on the streets, man, I have every nationality that hangs out with me, that love me enough. We don't come up and just hug. Back in the days, man, hold up, dude. What you mean you want to hug? Back the hell up. I just love hugs now, man. I get so many hugs, man. People be like, oh, you funny, Rob, man. Come here, give me a hug and shut up. They say we get hugs, not drugs, man. That's what you're doing, man. Learn how to hug another brother and say, I love you, man. Until you learn to love yourself, that's what we're here to do, man. We hold each other up, man. You know, one of our old timers, man. And let me tell you something. I meant to tell y'all this, man, because I love this day. I love Larry got me out here to speak tonight. This is a fantastic day because 2 days ago I celebrated my 18th. This is the first token that I've taken. Today is a special day because one of the old timers, he showed me what a real true graduation is. And I wish everybody would stop saying, I'm finna graduate the program. What the hell, man? If I would have told you I was going to graduate the program, I'm going to graduate the program, get my certificate. I go get loaded again. See, they would have gave me that certificate and said, Robert, you graduated. You can go get loaded now. That's what I heard, because I have selective hearing, man. That's what my ears would tell me, man. My head say some shit like, oh, man, I can go have a good drink now, man. I got a certificate. Look. There's no graduations in this program. It's about celebration, not graduations. What we came up here and did and took tokens for time, we celebrate time. We don't come in here and graduate. A good graduation. If you guys knew some of the old-timers that I had the opportunity to meet in these rooms, one of them would have 63 years this day. It's Cliff Heffler's birthday today, and he passed 3 years ago. That's what's one of my gangsters. He died with 60 years. I'm saying, damn, man. I seen Jewel. These is gangsters that I hung out with, man, that let me sit in a room with them, and they love me, man. And I sat at book studies with these dudes. If you're a man or a woman, I tell y'all, get involved in your recovery. Don't just do one meeting. I got a book study, a step study, a speaker meeting, an open discussion meeting, a closed meeting. I don't miss a meeting. And somebody said this a long time ago, an old timer. He said, check this out. If a man don't know where his next meeting is, he will get drunk. I'd be damned if I don't know where my meeting is. I can tell you where a meeting is without even being there. Man, I don't need no schedule to tell you where a meeting is. You know, that service that man was talking about during the phones, I had the phone commitment for over 10 years by myself. Me and my boy Damien, he came over there. He Damien could call me some stuff like this because they know my name is Robert S. And the Robert S don't stand for stocking. It stands for service. That's what Damien will tell you. Robert Service. That's what I do, man. I meet people in these rooms. I hold people up, man, until they learn to hold themselves up. I'm not afraid of nobody that say that they in their disease, because I wasn't afraid when I was out there in my disease, and I'd be damned if I get afraid up in here and close my mouth because you acting like you a gangster. You want to be a gangster? Get the hell up out of here and come back when you finish. Because real gangsters is up in here living today, man. We're not in here playing, man. We taking time. We doing what we need to do to stay on the right side, man, and not on the left side, man. Because I don't want to get left out, man. Somebody woke up, man. Somebody woke up today. Somebody died today. We don't know. This disease don't give a hoop about none of us, man. Let me tell you, man. I'm in town for a few days, man, and I got this big old truck, and I'm running around here. I'm trying to do everything that I can because I love my recovery. And if somebody asks me, Rob, well, what we going to do? Man, we getting in the van tomorrow and we going to go up to the luau. That's how we do it. I go wherever I have to go. I don't care if it's 100 miles. If you ask me to come and speak, I'm coming. If you ask me to do some service, I'll be there. If you need somebody to make the coffee, I love making coffee. They used to call me the water boy up at the Freedom Ranch. I used to make the best coffee in the world, and I make that shit so strong I have everybody looking out the window like they about to escape. If you don't learn how to have fun and laugh in here, the humor we have up in here, you don't just get this out there, people be laughing at you, not with you. Look at that damn fool, man. He's just a drunken fool. I don't want to ever have to live like that no more, man. I don't talk about nobody. I don't point fingers, man. I just got to remember. When I see the newcomers and you come up in here, man, I tell them, damn, man, the Indians is still out there kicking ass, man. They did that shit to you? Thank you for going out there and doing what my coward ass won't do, because I don't want to go out there and fight no more. I ain't got no more fight in me, man. I don't come in here, I answer, talking about throwing up a white flag, talking about us. I surrender, man. I can't take this shit no more. You know, that ain't surrender what we talking about, man. Surrendering in these rooms is jumping off the losing side and getting on the winning side. Anybody sitting in these rooms tonight, and if you want your life back, you are a winner. You don't have to look over your shoulders no more. Man, do you know this is one of the best things that ever happened? Because the big thing about this is for 18 years. At 39 years old, I arrived in these rooms, man. I'm 57 years old now. Check this out. I ain't been in a fucking police car in a fucking 18 years, man. I'm like, if you would have told me, Rob, all you have to do is quit getting loaded and you won't go to jail, I would have said, man, shut the hell up. How stupid that sounds. But they did. They made some things and suggested some things to me, and I was so willing as the dime could be, man. I'm a desperado. And they say it in the big book. What lengths will you go to stay here? I stayed here, and I'm still here, and I'm doing what I have to do. Some people say, well, I'm not a speaker. Fuck that. Ain't nobody a speaker. If I was a speaker, I wouldn't have had to come here to speak. If you take the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and identify some of your characteristics, your shortcomings, and start working on them things and getting rid of them, because if you don't write it out and bring it out into the light, what it does is stays in the dark, and whatever stays in the dark grows in the dark, and it become a monster. And it's so gangster. See, I got one of them diseases. He used to grab me like this. Come here, punk. I'm like, okay. I'm not like that no more. That disease come up on me, man. Everybody that know me, I come up in these rooms, man. I be singing it, man. And they back up away from me, man, because I ain't to sugarcoat this, man. I didn't get into a lot of the fields, man. I'm a field boy, man. I love to work. I don't play 10 whole minutes. I could go up another 5, 15, 20. Let me tell you, man, it's so beautiful to be in a program like Alcoholics Anonymous. I do all of the programs. I know how to respect the traditions. And I'm going to tell you like this. As a newcomer, and if the sponsors don't start telling y'all and teaching you, learn to look at your surroundings, because you never walked in a dope house and said, let me get a 40. You never went into a liquor store and said, let me get a 20. So when you come into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and you don't know the literature that's sitting on the table, but I can't understand how a person can come in here with a big old Frappuccino, a triple-decker cheeseburger, a pack of Bamels, and he walking up in here chilling like a villain and drinking a big old Monster, and then when the basket come around, they don't have a dollar to put in it. What a fucking concept. That's messed up. Some place like this, where we come together, and this is all y'all asking for, it's a couple of dollars to help keep the doors open. It's enough in here, enough people up in here. These doors should never close. And if you know that there's a meeting, see, back when I got here, man, I used to go around the rooms, man, and I announce shit, man. If you got a meeting that needs some help, announce it. When they say, is there any AA announcements, open your fucking mouth and announce it. Sitting around here with a goddamn suit on and a necktie, clean as a whistle, with a big-ass shit stain and a hole in your drawers, don't make no sense. This is not an outside job. This is an inside job. You got to do some work on yourself, man. Get in here and do some work. I didn't come in here to play around. I was so happy. My mom got to see her son. I'm the prodigal son that they talk about in another book. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. My mom got a chance to see her son get his life back. I was 4.5 years sober when I lost my mom. And let me tell you something. I went into hospice, and I sat with my mom. And anybody that know me, in my car, in my room, wherever I'm at, I don't go on this damn new technology shit and pull little amps up and pull a book up. I go in the room like I usually went to the liquor store. I spend my money on literature, because that literature don't need to be collecting dust. I bought all this literature. I go in the room in hospice with my mother, and I got my bag, and I was hurting. I had just came from a men's meeting, and I had on an orange suit, the sharpest of whistle. Man, you couldn't have told me shit. And I sat in that room, and my mom was induced under that morphine, and that was October the 2nd. 2004, man, and it was like, 2005. And I sat in that room and I read that whole bag of books to my mother. And she knew her son was all right. And the next day I went to work and my daughter picked me up from work. And then she took me back to my sober living. And I went in my sober living and I was laid down and I got a phone call from my brothers saying, I think you need to get down here. I think we're about to lose mom. I said, okay, it's been 4 months. We've been running back and forward to the hospital and running back and forth. And I used to tell my boss now, because I don't care what it is, what kind of job I got, who you think it is. It could be a wife or a friend or a girlfriend or a dog or whatever. When they come down in my recovery, this means more to me than anything. I would say, to hell with your job. When they called me the second time, I said, just let me get some more sleep, man, just about 5 more minutes. He called the third time. He said, I think you need to get down here, bro. Mom took her last breath. I called my daughter back, said, come and get me. Went over there. I couldn't even cry. I just knew. Don't nobody know what happened, but I do, me and God. I sat in that room, and I read to my mother, and I'd be damned if I make my mother turn in her grave to go back out there to serve this fucking disease one more day. So when I tell you that I'm serious about my recovery, they got a rule around here. They call, ask all of the groups to send in these rules, and they come with all these rules. And they got that one that said, rule number 62, don't take yourself so serious, but take your recovery serious. I'm serious about my recovery. I'm serious about living today. I have a life beyond my wildest dream. I'm doing stuff what I never would have thought. I used to think I was a cape crusader. I'll save her. And couldn't save my own ass, man. And when I say I ass was falling out, oh, man, I was 5 more minutes. I could go another 10 more minutes. Let me tell you something. I share this to you guys, man, because I've been hurting a lot of years, and I've been walking through real life shit. I thought God was doing a number on me, man, because from the time I first got sober up until now, at 18 years, I have nothing but death. And my whole family, my mother had 13 brothers and sisters, and a mother, she didn't ever get married no more. It was 14 of them. It's one of them living. They all died while I'd been sober. I tell you like this, man, if you don't know why God's got you here, stay here until you find out. Don't leave before the miracle happens. Kick ass, man. Get in here and have fun, man. I'm losing it because I get emotional when I'm telling you this, man. I'm not just talking to the newcomer. I'm talking to everybody because even the old-timers got to stay busy in here because this disease don't give a shit about none of us. He don't care how much time you got, who you think you is. None of us is exempt from relapse. And death is written all over us. I don't want to die in that disease. And I'll be damned, I'm going to die as an alcoholic, but I'm not an active alcoholic. I tell on my disease, and I keep this shit gangsters for a reason, man. And I'm going to show something with you out of this book, man, because this is powerful, man. And it's like everybody come in here and thinking this is a party. This ain't no party. They told us that we have, for reasons yet obscure, we have lost the power of choice. I'm going to tell you how to gain that power back. But you got to do some work. If you ain't got a sponsor, get a fucking sponsor, man. I don't call myself a sponsor. I said I'm a big brother, little sister. I don't give a shit who it is. If you ask for some help from me, I'm going to help you because I don't want to see nobody die in this disease. But I'm not a cape crusader, and I can't save the world, but I can. If I can touch one individual with the message that I bring, I done did my 12-step work. Now listen to this. There is a solution. Almost none of us like this. Self-searching. The leveling of our pride, the confessions of shortcomings, which the process requires for a successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. The great fact is just this, and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experience which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives, you messing with me with 2 minutes. Today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. This is in the book. I'm not the brightest Montana up in here, but I ain't the stupidest, man. I get up in here and get busy. And I'm going to tell you like this and I'll leave you. Because it's always the truth that makes me for real about what I say. If a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor, great or small. Do it well or not at all. get in here and get busy living and study dying. Thank you for letting me hold your heart.